Ramsey TV.
The second coming of Christ. What could be more epic than that? This, the snatching away of the body of Christ. And if we're close to the second coming of Christ, and we are, then we're even closer to the snatching away of the body of Christ. This is Martin Sender. You're at MZTV. Welcome to the show. I've been looking into many 6-1 ratio instances in the scriptures, looking into the Hebrew scriptures. I didn't know there were this many. I knew there were some, but this is great. It really helps to back up scripturally, the 6-1 ratio, or to put it another way, the 7,000-year plan of God, where for 6,000 years man toils, and for 1,000 years man stops his toil and luxuriates. That's what I want to say. Luxuriates in the righteous rule of God under Israel. Of course, we have a prior expectation in Christ. We have a prior expectation. We will be snatched away to the celestial realms. And there's no Israel event that marks the snatching away. But as I've told you before, I think there might be a worldly event, a heathen event that might mark the snatching away of the body of Christ. I'll talk about that next week. Also next week, I will talk to you about the 2-1 ratio. There's not only a 6-1 ratio, that is the entirety of the 6,000 years of humanity ruling ineptly. Just call me Mr. Obvious. On the earth, but there's also a 2-1 ratio. The time from Christ, 2,000 years from Christ, and then the 1,000 years. So really the 6,000 years can be split into 4 and 2. That's only 6,000. So the 7,000th year is included when you split it into 4,000 years before Christ, 2,000 years since Christ, which we're nearing the end of, and then the millennial kingdom. And as I've told you before, even further support of the 6-1 plan, the 7,000-year plan of God, is that the eighth day is very significant. The number 8 in Scripture is not only the number of Christ, but it's the number of a new beginning. Hebrew boys were circumcised on the eighth day. 8 people walked off Noah's boat. And the new heavens and the new earth will be the inauguration of day 8, the prophetic day. It will be the beginning of the 8,000th year of God's plan. And we don't know how long the new heavens and the new earth will be. It was posited by A.E. Nock that he thought that the entire Aeonian times was either 24,000 or 25,000 years. The entirety of the Aeonian times. When I heard that, it just made me happy to think that we look at the Aeonian times. I mean, I'm talking up to the consummation. We look at, like, God all in all. That's what I'm talking about here. To think that it has an end is spectacular. Even if you think 25,000 years, that's a hell of a long time. Yeah, but that's the entirety of the Aeonian times. And he based it on the, which is the right to do, God times everything by the stars. The planets and the stars are a elaborate timing system, an elaborate clock. They were set there. The stars were set for times and seasons, Genesis. The stars were set there. That would include the planets. Planets are also called stars. They were set for times and for seasons. So God measures time by the moon, by the sun. He doesn't need stopwatches. He doesn't need the Bulova company. He doesn't need Greenwich Mean Time. No, he's got the stars and the planets. And so A.E. Nock mentioned, said 2,000 or 24,000 or maybe it was 25,000 years because that's how much time it takes the sun to go through the entire zodiac. And the zodiac's real, by the way. Read Dr. Bollinger's book, The Witness of the Stars. That's how long it takes, apparently, the sun to go through the entire zodiac. So that would make sense. Everything's based on a revolution. Things coming around. It's a beautiful thing. I would love that. So let's see if I can get through the other examples of the 6-1 ratio. And then on Monday, I'll bring you details of the 2-1 ratio. That is the 2,000 years since Christ. There's a lot said about that, more than I realized. This section at BibleBaptistPublications.com, again, .org, excuse me, I hate to even say the word Baptist, .com, .org. The word Baptist is the one I have a problem with, but nevertheless, they put together this information, and most of it's pretty good. Exodus 21:2 tells us that Hebrew servants were to be set free after 6 years of service. There you go, just that. Here's the quote. If you buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. And so, humanity has served under the bondage of corruption for 6 millennia. Then, in the 7th millennium, he enters into what Paul calls in Romans 8, the glorious liberty of the children of God. Liberty. No more slaves. It's done. At the same time, that Satan, the slave master, you might call him, is bound for that 1,000 years. That's convenient. Satan is bound during the 1,000-year millennium. 6:1 shall serve 6 years. 6 years of service. 6 years of sweat. 6 years of bondage. By the sweat of your brow you shall eat your food. Then the seventh he shall go free for nothing. Money for nothing, chicks for free? Well, how about everything for free during the wonderful period of God's stopping that remains for Israel and the entire earth during the millennium. This section is called Moses, the Clouds, and the Second Coming at 7. 7 o'clock? No, I don't think it means 7 o'clock. Tune in, the Second Coming of Christ at 7, right after the Brady Bunch. No, here's the quote. This is from Exodus 24, verses 16 through 18. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up to the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. But I want you to notice this, ladies and gentlemen. The cloud covered Sinai for 6 days. And then God called Moses up into the midst of the cloud on the seventh day. Christ is returning in the clouds among his saints. That is pretty good. Israel cleansed of her leprosy on the seventh day. I'm reading now from Leviticus 14, 8 and 9. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, this is the law of leprosy, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows. Even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. I'm quoting now from the website. Here we see that under Israel's Mosaic law, the leper could not be considered clean until the seventh day. Leprosy pictures sin throughout the Bible, and it isn't until the seventh millennial day that Israel is cleansed. Yes, and God shall save his people according as it is written. All Israel shall be saved, Paul says in Romans chapter 11, according as it is written. But this doesn't happen until the glory of the Lord is revealed. At the second coming, on the seventh day, the cleansing takes place. Israel's 7th month. Israel's calendar had 12 months, just as ours has 12 months, but God chose to make the 7th month the most special. You will find this in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 23 through 44. It was in the 7th month that 3 major Jewish events occurred, and that would be the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. This probably signifies the fact that the tribulation trumpets will sound, Israel's sins will be atoned for, and Christ will tabernacle dwell among his people on the seventh millennial day. In fact, this is not some new symbolism. According to this website, the Scofield Reference Bible has been tying the Levitical feast to Bible prophecy for over 100 years. Well, who cares what the Scofield Reference Bible does? Unfortunately, this truth has been largely ignored and understudied by Christians. Oh, just like every other truth. Sorry, I'm criticizing the Baptists here. I don't like that commentary at all. Let me provide my own. Three major feasts. Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. The fall feasts, these three events, are the only parts of the Israel agricultural system that is yet unfulfilled. Passover has been fulfilled. Pentecost has been fulfilled. This has yet to be fulfilled. It'll be fulfilled at the coming of Christ. And it all happened in the seventh month. The seventh month. That is significant for sure. The first 6 months, all right. But the seventh month, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, and there's no doubt that the Lord will return. And he comes back, well, at the seventh trumpet, the woes of Revelation, that all precedes his coming. But when he comes, there will be great fanfare. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth on the earth. But nevertheless, on the seventh day, the land Sabbath, 6 years, thou shalt sow thy fields, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest. Actually, it's a stopping. God didn't rest on the seventh day because he wasn't tired. He just stopped because he was finished. A Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. Leviticus 25, 3 through 4. Again, we see the 6-1 principle that is, I realize now, very common in the scriptures. I mean, I knew it was there. I just didn't know it was this much there. But even though I knew there was a lot of sixes and a lot of ones and a lot of sevens, of course, the Jubilee, the sabbatical year, the weekly Sabbath, the 70 sevens prophesied by Daniel for the people of Israel, the 490 years, I never associated it with the 7,000-year plan. So this is really cool. The Hebrew under the law would till his land and grow his crops for 6 years, but that would wear out the land. And then the land is allowed to rest during the seventh year. And I think this writer, whoever it is, in this website is correct when he says, obviously this foreshadows the coming millennial Sabbath of Isaiah 14, verse 7. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yes, I love it. You're absolutely right, Baptist dude. Isaiah 14, 7. The whole earth is at rest. This is the ultimate sabbatical year. 6 years, they would work their fields. And then in the seventh year, they just stopped and they gave it a rest, and God provided for them. And they trusted God. They had faith during that time, unless they didn't, at which time they would work over the seventh year. This is why God sent them into exile and into Babylon, because they ignored the Sabbath, stopping the agricultural Sabbath. They ignored it because they didn't trust God's sustenance. If working 6 days is good, working 7 days is better. But no, one extra day of work does not get you one extra day of food. In fact, it puts you in the hole. It puts you in the negative because God works more when you stop. God works more. The trust value is the valuable thing. It's not the fact that you just let the land rest for 1 year. It's the trust in God. But these Israelites are so practical, so into making money, so into the spreadsheets and everything. Well, God, we don't produce in this seventh year. Everything's going to go bad. No, if you don't produce in the seventh year, God is going to multiply you ridiculously. It's not a zero-sum game, dude. You trust God and things go well. You don't, and you get exiled to Babylon. Oopsie, see you in 70 years. Seven trumpets after 6 days. Now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Oh yeah, they were scared shitless when they saw Israel approaching the city of Jericho across the Jordan River. This is from Joshua 6, by the way, verses 1 through 5. Jericho was straightly shut up. My version would say they were scared shitless because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given into your hand Jericho. I'm going to un-King James this. I'm going to un-thine and un-thou this, if you don't mind. I've given into your hand Jericho and the king also and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. Here we go again. 6 days. Circle the city once. And seven priests shall bear it before the ark, seven trumpets of ram's horns. They're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day you shall compass the city seven times. So on the seventh day, they work seven times harder. They circle the city seven times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. All the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. Oh, I would have loved to have seen this. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Anyone familiar with the book of Revelation recognizes the typology. The 6 days pictures the 6,000 years of man's dominance on earth. Joshua and his men picture Jesus. Joshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus, in fact. Joshua and his men picture Jesus and his saints who will take possession of the kingdom, the kingdoms of this world. I love this verse out of Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded. The seventh angel. Seven. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for the eons of the eons. Oh, that is the moment. That is when it happens, after the seventh angel sounds. And this happens after the seven trumpets sound. And after walking around the city seven times on the seventh day, the priests blow the trumpets and the city falls. The walls of Jericho fall down and Israel takes the land. That was a precursor. That was a dress rehearsal. That was a microcosm of what Israel's going to do in the millennium. During the tribulation, there's a great earthquake. And scripture says, and the cities of the nations fall. And they will all fall. The cities of the nations, every tall building of every city of every nation will fall, just like Jericho fell. And it will be a miraculous falling, just like this was. And it'll be all about Israel. And it'll be all about the trumpet of God and the angels and the power of God. Because for the 7 years of the tribulation, the power of God has been manifest. Finally, God has come out from behind the iron curtain, and he has shown himself on the earth. Yeah, I guess there's a God after all, huh? And when his judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the earth learn righteousness. And it happens on the seventh day. I got three more before I get to the 2-1 ratio, but I'm done for the week. Thank you very much. I appreciate your patience and your love. I appreciate you tuning in every day. I never take it for granted that you tune into this show. Never take it for granted. I never take any show for granted. I don't take any of you for granted. We're looking into some great things. We stand on the shoulders of some great men. Paul. Numero uno. No, our Lord Jesus Christ, numero uno, who gave the message to Paul, who becomes our example in the flesh of how to live lives pleasing to God. And so I look up every day. I'm anticipating the return of Christ at any time for his body, because for all the wonder of these Israelite events, and the six and the ones and the twos and the ones and the sevens, none of them have to do with us, because there is no Israel event that predicts or coincides with God's next great event, the snatching away of the body of Christ.